This is Yadu. The Magic Maestro and I are here to tell you the story of Peter and the Wolf. The story begins in Russia, where a boy named Peter lived with his grandfather in a cottage with a garden surrounded by a high stone wall. There was a garden gate that led to the meadow, and not very far beyond was the great forest. Now, this is a musical story, and like all stories, it has characters. But in this story, each character is represented by an instrument in the symphony orchestra. First, the bird. She is represented by the flute. Then the duck. She is represented by the oboe. The cat is played by the clarinet. Listen to the sound of her velvet paws. Peter's grandfather is represented by the bassoon. Can you hear his stern voice? The wolf is represented by three French horns. The hunters are represented by the woodwinds playing the hunter's march, and the kettle drums, the shooting of their guns. And finally, Peter. His theme is played by all the strings. And now our story, Peter and the Wolf. Early one bright summer morning, Peter opened the garden gate and went out into the great green meadow. On a branch of the tall tree sat the bird, Peter's friend. All is quiet, All is quiet, chirped the bird merrily. Just then, the duck came waddling out of the garden. She was very glad that Peter had not closed the garden gate. And so, she decided to take a nice swim in the deep pond in the meadow. Seeing the duck, the bird flew down upon the grass, settled next to the duck, and shrugged her shoulders. "What kind of a bird are you if you can't fly?" said she. To this, the duck replied, "What kind of a bird are you if you can't swim?" And she plopped into the pond. They argued and argued, the duck swimming in the pond, the bird hopping along the bank. Suddenly, something caught Peter's attention. He spotted the cat slinking through the grass. While the bird is busy arguing, I'll just grab her. Stealthily on her velvet paws, the cat crept towards her. "Look out!" shouted Peter, and the bird immediately flew up into the tree. While the duck quacked angrily at the cat. from the middle of the pond. The cat prowled round and round the tree, thinking to herself, "Is it worth climbing up so high? By the time I get there, the bird may have flown away." Then Peter's grandfather came out of the cottage. He was very angry because Peter had gone into the meadow.
"It is a dangerous place. If a wolf should come out of the forest, then what would you do?"
But Peter paid no attention to his grandfather's words. Boys like Peter are not afraid of wolves. However, Grandfather took Peter firmly by the hand, led him home, and locked the gate. But no sooner was Peter inside the garden than a big gray wolf came out of the dark forest. As a flash, the cat scampered up the tree. The duck quacked louder than ever and became so excited that, flapping her wings, she jumped right out of the pond. But no matter how fast the duck tried to run, she couldn't escape the wolf. He was getting nearer and nearer, catching up with her. And then he caught her, and with one huge gulp, he swallowed her. Now, this is how things stood. The cat was sitting on one branch of the tree. And the bird was perched on another. But not too close to the cat. And the wolf stalked round and round the tree, looking up at them with fierce, greedy eyes. Meanwhile, Peter, who wasn't a bit afraid, stood behind the garden gate watching all that was going on. He ran to the cottage, found a strong rope, and climbed up the high stone wall. Now, one of the branches of the tree, around which the wolf was stalking, happened to stretch out over the wall. And so, taking hold of the branch, Peter nimbly climbed from the wall up into the tree. Peter said to the bird, "Fly down and circle round the wolf's head, but be careful, don't let him catch you." The bird almost touched the wolf's nose with her wings, while the wolf snapped angrily at her from this side and that. How that little bird annoyed the wolf, and oh, how the wolf was desperate to catch her. But the bird was swift and clever, and the wolf simply couldn't do anything about it. Meanwhile, Peter made a lasso with the rope and, carefully letting it down, he caught the wolf by the tail and pulled with all his might. Feeling himself caught, the wolf began to jump about wildly, trying to get loose. But Peter had tied his end of the rope to the branch. And the wolf's jumping only made the loop around his tail tighter. Just then, the hunters came out of the forest. Following the wolf's trail and shooting as they went. But Peter, sitting high up in the tree, cried out, "Don't shoot! The bird and I have caught the wolf. Come, help us take him to the zoo." Imagine the triumphant procession. Peter out in front. and following Peter, the hunters leading the wolf. Winding up the procession came Grandfather and the cat. But even now, Grandfather was still angry, shaking his head and frowning.
Well, but if Peter hadn't caught the wolf, what then?
Flying above them all was the bird, chirping merrily. See what brave fellows we are, Peter and I. Look what we have caught. If you listen carefully, you can hear the duck softly quacking inside the wolf's belly because the wolf, in his hurry, had swallowed her alive. And that is the story of Peter and the Wolf.
When Prokofiev wrote Peter and the Wolf, he was already a famous composer. You might wonder why a famous composer would create a work for children about a wolf. He probably composed a work for children because he had two young sons of his own. As for the wolf, well, Prokofiev grew up in the countryside where there really were wolves that people worried about. Prokofiev was born in 1891, way out in the Russian countryside. His parents came from Moscow, but were living on an estate where his father was the manager. He was the only child of the most important person on the estate, and if truth be told, he was both smart and spoiled. His father taught him to play chess, and his mother let him bang on the top two octaves of the piano as she practiced hours and hours every day. Soon, little Sergei began to say that he was the composer of the music they were playing. His mother laughed. But at the age of five, when he came to her demanding that she write down one of his newly created tunes, his mother gave him his first lesson in music notation, and the rest is really history. By the age of nine, Prokofiev had composed his first opera, The Giant. When he was 13, he applied to the St. Petersburg Conservatory of Music. He arrived for his audition with two bulging folders of his own compositions, including three operas, a couple of symphonies, and a lot of piano music. Prokofiev was the youngest student they had ever accepted. Prokofiev spent the next 10 years at the conservatory in St. Petersburg. He was wildly interested in modern music, and his professors often would throw up their hands at what he composed. But by the time he graduated with the top piano prize at the age of 23, he was already a published composer. Not to be stopped by the First World War, Prokofiev traveled to London and Paris, giving concerts as a piano soloist and performing his own music. He returned to Russia, but in 1917, on the eve of the bloody Russian Revolution, Prokofiev headed east to America, taking the train to Vladivostok, then the boat to Japan, and on to San Francisco. There, he borrowed $300 and took the train to New York. Prokofiev wasn't the first Russian composer to arrive in America. Americans had loved Tchaikovsky when he came for the opening of Carnegie Hall in 1891, and Stravinsky's fame in Paris had traveled across the Atlantic. But Prokofiev did not compose romantic music like the Nutcracker Ballet. He composed modern music, and often the critics would accuse him of just throwing ink at the page. Nevertheless, audiences flocked to his concerts, and many influential people asked him to compose new music for them. He spent 2 years in America, but in the 1920s, every artist wanted to be in Paris, and Prokofiev was no exception. He had fallen in love with a Spanish singer, and together they headed for France. Once there, he composed and performed all over Europe. He had two children with Nina and was, by all standards, a success. And then something almost unimaginable happened. Prokofiev was homesick. He did not care that there was a terrible dictator in Russia. He did not care that people were having trouble even finding enough to eat. He didn't believe that Stalin's arts police would tell him what he could and could not compose. And so, to everyone's horror, in 1936, Prokofiev moved his family back to Moscow. The government had offered him an apartment, a car, and a salary, and he moved back. Shortly after they arrived in Russia, Prokofiev took his two sons to a performance at the Moscow Children's Theater. The director spotted the famous composer in the audience, and after the performance, she approached him. "Wouldn't you like to compose a work to introduce children to the symphony orchestra?" she asked. She recommended a young poetess friend to write the text, and Prokofiev agreed. But when the young lady appeared with the entire story written in rhyme, Prokofiev threw her out of his apartment and wrote the story himself. He completed the story and piano score for Peter and the Wolf in just 1 week and orchestrated it the following week. In 2 weeks, Prokofiev had created a work that has been loved by people all over the world ever since. Why do we like Peter and the Wolf, no matter how many times we listen to it? Part of it is the wonderful musical score, a score that is complex enough for adults to find interesting and a challenge for any symphony orchestra to play. Part of it is that the hero is a child, a boy with courage to face danger and the ability to think quickly on his feet and find a clever solution to the problem. But if you want to know what I think it is because we can see both sides of the story. The grandfather was right. The wolf might have eaten Peter if he had not been both lucky and clever. But on the other hand, if Peter had not disobeyed his grandfather, they might never have caught the wolf, and it might never have made it to the zoo. Thank you.
This is Stephen Simon. I am the conductor, and I'm here to tell you some things about the music that you might not have noticed or thought about. Prokofiev begins his musical tale by telling you that each character is represented by an instrument in the symphony orchestra. The bird by the flute, the cat by the clarinet, the duck by the oboe, and so forth. But what Prokofiev doesn't tell you is that each character in the story also has his own musical theme. Did you recognize Peter? And did you recognize the duck? And they weren't played by their instruments at all. If Prokofiev had not been such a good composer, he might have let the words tell the story and just played the themes whenever the character appeared. But Prokofiev is telling a story with music. So when something new happens to a character, the music changes also. The most important theme, Peter's theme, is changed several times. In the beginning, it introduces Peter. When the bird is distracting the wolf for Peter, the flute plays Peter's theme in a very agitated fashion. After Peter has caught the wolf, the theme is turned into a waltz. And at the end, it is turned into the triumphant processional march as they head for the zoo. Now, listen to the oboe. When the duck is about to be caught by the wolf and is running and running around the pond, listen to what happens. The music gets faster and faster and then suddenly stops. Because the wolf has swallowed her. Prokofiev also uses music to create sound effects for his story. When Peter lowers the rope, we don't hear Peter's theme, we hear the sound of the lasso lowering. The music gets lower and lower. It begins in the violins and travels down through the violas, all the way down to the cellos and double basses. There are more sounds. The wolf's jaws snapping. And the hunters shooting their guns. Prokofiev spent a lot of time in the United States. Like many other European composers, he liked jazz. And I think he tries a little of his own here. Listen to the clarinet at the end of this passage. ¶¶ A musical composition is like a piece of fabric. It needs to be woven together. Composers do this in many ways, but one fun way is with quadlibets. A quadlibet is when a composer figures out how to have two different tunes or themes play together at the same time to make a new piece of music. Listen to how Prokofiev wove Grandfather's theme and the cat's theme at the end of the triumphal procession. Prokofiev wrote words to the story to help children know what the story was about. But he really composed a story in music that hardly needs the words. I'd like you to listen again and see if you can tell what's happening in the story just from the music.
Thank you. You're listening to ICANN. Oregon Coast Aquarium is a journey from seafloor to shore, and we're offering a wave of new experiences. This summer, you can hone your climbing skills in their new nature play area. Then head over to their outdoor amphitheater to meet a cast of animal ambassadors, or view their headwaters feature to follow a raindrop's voyage from the mountains to the sea. You can plan your next adventure at aquarium.org.
This is ICANN. KQAC HD2 Portland 89.9.
KQOC HD2 Glenydon Beach 88.1.
KSLC HD2 McMinnville 90.3.
And KQHR HD2 The Dells and Hood River 88.1.
Let's listen to a piece of music about a strong life force. This is about a river in the Czech Republic called Vltava. It's a beautiful river running straight through Prague. Listen to the music and see if you can hear the river run.